We are going to continue today. This is part two, chapter five, in 2008, God's Final Witness, of the chapter entitled, The Final 3 1/2 Years. I'm going to do a lot more reading out of the book this time. I don't think we'll probably get through this chapter here. I would like to be able to, but that depends on what the purpose is here of what I'm to cover that I may not know about yet. But there's a lot as we go through this period of time that God continues to reveal as we go through this period of time. It is turning out much different, I think, than most of us have thought. Everything has that we've ever gone through. Everything to do with prophecy concerning this end time has been different. I think of the period of time, I think back when Mr. Armstrong used to talk about things that would begin to happen toward the end, even talking about a great falling away that would happen in the church. And we never grasped in any fashion or form how that would be accomplished. We didn't grasp the magnitude of that by any measure. And it happened so much differently than what we could have ever contemplated in our mind, ever thought about. And God didn't want us to know. It wasn't a purpose to know. There are reasons for all of that things had to take their natural course and in their time, in God's time, to come together like they did. And all that's history now. And we can look back and we learn a great deal from it, although the vast majority of those who are scattered still will not accept some basic principles, some basic truths, that we were even scattered, that there's even been a scattering, an apostasy in the church, something that is so simple for us to grasp and comprehend. But the vast majority of thousands who are out there just will not acknowledge it, cannot acknowledge it, and believe that they're going to become larger so that one day they will have the prophesied falling away. It's astounding to think it could be that way. And so it is in this end time. We've had a lot of ideas about what the end time would be. I think of the period of time we've called the Great Tribulation, and expecting that as soon as it began, that there would be horrifying things taking place on the earth. And partially expected that, even to the very point in time, almost up to the point in time anyway, that would be the case. And it hasn't turned out that way. And who would have thought that here we are almost at Pentecost, and we still have safety in this country. Everything is going along quite well. And so today I want to back up in the previous paragraph of where we left off on page 118, because this is so important that you understand what is being said here, or what was written here. And in order to read that paragraph, I'll start right in the middle of the page here, in that sentence where it says, the actual event, speaking of the first trumpet, the actual event will not be disclosed until it is time for it to happen. And it still has not all been disclosed. But the beginning of it and what happened on that day has been disclosed. As with all the seals of Revelation, many of the specifics of the seven trumpets will not be revealed until it is time for the actual events to take place. Please remember this as we go through this. Please remember this as we go through this in the book. Please remember this as we go through this in actuality, as these events come to pass. Again, as with all the seals of Revelation, many of the specifics of each of the seven trumpets will not be revealed until it is time for the actual events to take place. Now, that's not the most comfortable position to be in. As the church, we would like to know, we want to know ahead of time. But please understand, there are many other things going on that God is working out. Many things going on are things we don't understand and don't comprehend. And there are reasons why things are revealed in their specific time, both for us, for some who are going to join us, also in a demonic world and things that are taking place there, in wars and battles that God has allowed since the time that Lucifer rebelled. And those are things that are difficult sometimes for us to comprehend. But there are reasons for it all, why it all works out the way it does. God is in control. God has always been in control. So everything that happens, we need to understand that as we go through this period of time. Going on, it should also be noted that in the first trumpet, there is fire mingled with blood. Blood means there will be much death when this event occurs. Most of it will be death of animals, the death of animals and birds, but also a large number of people who will die into the tens of thousands. And so I have touched upon that in part in what we've already covered, and more, even in this, will be coming later. There are some things that before last Sabbath, and we'll probably touch a tad upon it today, it's a little bit like what happened in the year preceding the giving of the sermon that was, or the sermons, I should say, that were given in 2005 at the Feast of Tabernacles, as God had me begin to touch upon various things having to do with the life of Jesus Christ, when his life began, the relationship there with his Father, things about Melchizedek that we've talked about, and so forth. And about a year in advance, we began to cover certain things, especially around Passover season. I remember touching upon some things then. I remember touching upon more things when we were in Europe concerning Pentecost, and still interjecting some things there, preparing. God was preparing us, helping us to grow and have a few more things added to our understanding, so that when the time came to reveal it all as a whole through a period of time there, we said amen. That means I'm in agreement. That means so be it. Yes, you know, I understand, I agree. And God has to bring us to that point in time. And so it is with some of the things taking place here. And so there's some duality in this that I'm not even going to touch upon right now. It is not time to touch upon it. But there is a time coming here before long. And some of it, well, I'll wait till God gives the timing. But going on here, the second trumpet. Then the second angel sounded, and there was something like a great mountain burning with fire that was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became like blood. And a third part of the living creatures which were in the sea died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. So in explaining this, going on here and reading, this event will take place primarily over water. But its effect will also decimate much of the coastline of the United States and the United Kingdom, and some of their allies, including the complete destruction of some cities. So we understand there's coming a time when there will be nuclear weapons that will be unleashed in this world. God has held back technology for hundreds and hundreds of years until this end time. You know, I marvel at that when I think about it now, when I consider times that have gone by and man never being able to have great ability when it comes to technology, until, especially in the last 150 years, primarily, things that begin to be opened up. And the world, and some perhaps in God's church, have, when we would consider such a subject, we might think, it's amazing. People all of a sudden, you know, certain things about mathematics, physics begin to come along. Certain individuals begin to invent various things here, and all this began to work in different parts of the world in an orderly fashion, or a timely fashion in a sense, and people would learn from each other, and another thing would be developed out of that. And isn't it amazing, the mind of man? I say, hogwash. It is amazing, the mind of man. It is amazing, the mind that God has given to us. But man didn't come up with these things. God gave them. He allowed man to have the ability. God is the one who gives understanding and knowledge, even of those things in a physical world, when it comes to things of technology. We think we're great. No, we're not great. We can learn, and we can build upon things that God has given us. If God hadn't given us the technology that we understand in the last 150 years, we'd still be back 150 years ago. Believe it or not. It isn't man, it's God that gave it. Understanding, and in God's time, in an orderly fashion to different men. Talents and abilities that different ones had. Men like, people think of Einstein. Yeah. Brilliant minds in certain areas. Couldn't pass a lot of tests in school, but he had a certain mind. You know, amazing. Certain things happened there. And does God get the credit for things that were given to him? You know, God gives us, and it depends on how we use it and what we do and how we respond as to what we're going to be able to receive from it. But God had a purpose in giving things to different people. Amazing. And it's all in a very timely fashion to bring us to this age right now of the ability to understand things about the atom, the ability to have weapons now that can be used in a very powerful way on the earth. God's purpose? To show mankind you would destroy yourself. Given time, if I didn't intervene, you would end up destroying yourself. Every weapon that has ever come along Man has used it for the wrong purposes and wrong reasons. Every bit of knowledge as a whole that man has developed and grown in, man has misused it. Most things that come along, it's the military first. That's amazing. And so it is now. We know we're coming to that point in time. The world, people in the world know it. There are leaders in the world who know that sooner or later it's going to be used. They just don't know when. And they don't know who. And they don't know how. And they don't know the effect. But we do. Because God has a purpose in bringing everything together in a very orderly and a very speedy fashion for great purpose. And it is awesome to understand. And so again here, to understand when certain things happen in various cities, I want to read a bit of a report here. You know, things like this have come out on a regular basis, but here's an article. It's concerning a new book that's out called The Day of Islam, The Annihilation of America and the Western World. This just came out this past week, toward the end of the week. The newly released book, The Day of Islam, The Annihilation of America and the Western World, paints a frightening picture of Al-Qaeda's nuclear ambitions, one every American must read. Seasoned investigative reporter and former FBI consultant Paul Williams reveals the alarming potential for nuclear terrorism on U.S. soil and the sinister connections among organized crime, illegal immigrants, and Al-Qaeda. Recently, FBI Director Robert Mueller, in an interview with Newsmax, confirmed Williams' main claim. Mueller said Al-Qaeda's paramount goal is clear, to detonate a nuclear device that would kill hundreds of thousands of Americans. This is not a surprise to the government. This isn't a surprise to people in the CIA, to Homeland Security, and to others, because various other kinds of reports have come out of the CIA and out of former members of the CIA and FBI and so forth. Mueller told Newsmax that at times the threat feels so real he lies awake at night thinking about the prospect. This is the FBI director. Williams maintains that Al-Qaeda is not content on blowing up one nuclear device or even a simple dirty nuke, but wants to explode real nuclear devices in seven U.S. cities simultaneously. Williams says that these cities are New York, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Miami, Boston, Houston, and Los Angeles. So there are those things out there that they don't even know for certain what is taking place or what is being planned, but they know a little leak here, a little thing here and there, and it goes on to talk about especially things with some of the things that have happened with the Russian mafia and Chechnya and some of the generals and so forth that are trying to line in their pockets. And, it's a truly sick, sick world. But the reality is these things are going to take place, and we live at that time. And so when it speaks here about something that happens in some coastal regions of the United States, when something of that nature happens, especially on the East Coast because of prevailing winds and so forth, and because of things that will be in the ocean at that point in time, there's a lot of things that are in the ocean that will die. It's also going to affect as it continues on, and because of fallout and so forth, things that are carried in rains that will affect parts of Europe, Western Europe, and part of Britain and so forth. And it's going to be a beginning process here that takes a lot of life. And so that's why it talks about here. It doesn't say that a nuclear weapon will go off in the United Kingdom at this point, although it may. We don't know what they're going to do. So be careful what you read. Sometimes people try to dissect, and some people in the church try to dissect sometimes things that are written in this book as though we fully understand. If I don't fully understand what I wrote, how can we understand until it comes time for God to give it? It's like the Bible. It's like the book of Revelation or any place else in the Bible. How can we know certain things until it comes time that God reveals it and gives it to us? That's the way the Bible has always been, even for the church. We do not understand more than what God gives us to understand. We do not see more than what God gives us the ability to see. And so it is here. Please understand that in many of the things that are yet to take place over the next 3.5 years. A little less now, going on. A third of all the waters within the boundaries of these countries will become lifeless. Everything will die in these areas, the areas that are affected. This death will include a third of all the people on boats and ships. However, there will be hundreds of thousands who will die on the coastal areas of these same regions. Again, it doesn't say immediately. Please understand there's a process of time here. Things about radiation and so forth that sometimes have a different effect on people and a timeliness and so forth. Different injuries and so forth that don't happen immediate, but happen soon after. Weeks, in some cases, or days. Going on. The reason for the destruction of so many shipping vessels is that this event occurs primarily in port cities where there are large concentrations of ships, commerce, and people. You know, that's amazing. Only 5% of all shipping cargo containers that come in the United States actually are checked. And yet, this doesn't even have to be checked when this takes place. These can be something shipped over on a ship right in a port city, not even having gone through an inspection yet. Amazing. Think they don't know these things or understand these things or the power? Going on. The third trumpet. Then the third angel sounded, and what appeared like a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third part of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Again, we don't know what it is fully. More will be given when this happens, just as it says here. And not until it happens. God will give us a little more understanding as we get closer to it. As we continue on, every once in a while, God is going to give a little bit more. A little bit more. Every Sabbath has been that way. A little bit more. Every Sabbath. And that's how God works with us and will continue to work with us. So all that this means, we don't know. May have to do more with fallout. It may have to do with fallout and maybe more nukes going off inland. And what can happen when that takes place. So, again, we don't know. There are a lot of scenarios. Don't get caught up in scenarios. But I'm going to throw some scenarios out at you today for the purpose of helping you to understand that we don't know, and there's great flexibility within all of this of what God can do in His timing to fulfill these things. Okay? And we have to wait. Wait on God to do things in His time, in His way, and what a purpose He has as these things take place. Going on. Each of these three events will become progressively more devastating upon the United States and her closest allies. There are going to be all kinds of rippling effects on this country, and upon, again, Australia and New Zealand, and not necessarily even anything happening yet in Australia and New Zealand. I don't know. Eventually they're going to have suffering in those countries as well. But it may not happen for quite a period of time in those two countries over there, part of scattered Israel. So again, each of these three events will become progressively more devastating upon the United States and our closest allies. This lethal blow will finally cripple the most prosperous and powerful nation the world has ever known. This one here is the one that does the major crippling of this country. The initial destruction from this event will include several large cities. It will make the devastation from Hurricane Katrina appear extremely small by comparison. The destruction of property. I don't know if we grasp and comprehend what happens when certain things begin to take place and we can't transport food in the same way, when certain kinds of food will be affected, and what will happen especially in cities. It's really hard for us to grasp and contemplate what's going to come to pass. And it's all bad. It's all horrifying. Things that we really don't even want to have to consider and think about. This is the time period in which we live. And I thought about this so often. I think about it quite often, frankly, about this is just where we live. We don't live 20 years ago or 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago or whatever time that man has gone through things or at various times when God has done certain things on the earth. We live at this time, the very end time. It just happens to be where we are. And we're going to go through this. The destruction of property will be beyond measure, but the destruction of life will be far greater. The death toll will be in the tens of millions, again, over a period of time. Not on that day. Bad enough what happens on that day. Worldwide repercussions from this event will trigger World War III. Now, we have talked a lot about the fifth trumpet being the greatest escalation, if you will, of World War III because of what Europe does, because of what 10 nations over there do. But this is where it really all begins. It begins right here because it goes into the fourth trumpet.
What on earth could it be? What could take place? Well, again, good things for us to think about a little bit in part. Let's go on. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were darkened, so that the sun did not shine for a third of the day, and likewise the night. Then I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts from the three angels who are yet to sound." So here are four trumpet blasts that have been very devastating in parts of the world. God says, woe, 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 because of the three to come. And so, as you go through the fourth trumpet here and you read about what happens in the atmosphere, perhaps as a part of what takes place in the third trumpet, you know, what happens in some of the port cities, what happens over water, is different what happens when a nuclear weapon goes off in an area where there is an inland, just candidly,
okay,
and what is thrust into the atmosphere, and what begins to take place when some of this happens, and if it happens in various parts of the world. What takes place here, who knows what it is? We don't know. God will tell us in time. But what if, because of what happens in some port cities and what happens in some cities inland, what do you think we're going to do? What do you think this nation is going to do? Sit back and twiddle its thumbs? You know, we understand that in time here, that's the reason Europe steps in and does some of the things they do, but what happens? Is it possible that we retaliate? Is it possible that there are nuclear weapons the United States is responsible for unleashing? Is it possible Israel, if the United States didn't, Israel would, with the supposed 150 nuclear weapons they have? Who knows? We don't know. But understand the potential that's out there and what can take place. When God says a third, we're talking about the ability of the sun to come through the atmosphere. Things that are close to having a nuclear winter. Even just a third of the earth or parts of the earth or wherever it is that these things take place, because it is a third. We don't know if that means all the earth. In this case here, it may be. Do we comprehend what will take place if something like that happens? Of what will happen to crops, of what will happen immediately, what's already starting to happen before this as far as famine is concerned. We already have problems of being able to supply the world with food right now. We're already in a shortage. There are already places where they're having, you know, fighting over food and wanting food and desiring food. We haven't seen anything. And these things are going to continue to take place in the second and third trumpet of things that happen on this earth, especially because of what happens in this country and how much of the world we supply. And when grains are affected because of radiation, we have no comprehension yet what's getting ready to take place. We really don't. It's too horrifying. It really is. You're going to have God's help to live through it with any kind of soundness of mind, period. You truly are. War is hell. It truly is on earth in man's eyes. Sorry. And the kind of things we're going to experience, it's horrifying. And not something to be dwelt upon, but we have to live through it. And so, what takes place if a nuclear weapon goes off, or several nuclear weapons go off over Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan? Do you think we would retaliate against them, possibly? Do you think we would do something as a strike in this country? You don't know what this country will do when it's pinned against the wall. Talked about a sleeping giant that was awakened during World War II and what took place in Pearl Harbor. It took that to shake us out of our lethargy in this country. We're not just going to be shaken out of lethargy, we're going to be shocked out of it. And the retaliation is not going to be a pleasant thing in this world. I don't see this country sitting idly back and doing nothing. And frankly, God hasn't even had me focus upon this until this point in time. Okay? So, if we think that there's not going to be some kind of a retaliation in parts of the world, then there's not a whole lot of reality we see. Yeah, truly. Will some other countries do some things? India and Pakistan? As a part of all this as well? Well, what takes place during this third trumpet is the beginning in a very powerful way of World War III. It really is. It's escalated when Europe steps in and does what they do, because they're going to do it even more powerfully, with far greater force. Going on to page 120. the cumulative effect from the first three trumpet blasts will be announced by this fourth trumpet blast, which will cause much more destruction. There are things that aren't to be given until their time. There are things of my job and what I'm to say as time goes along that aren't to happen until specific times. That's God's purpose. God has a plan and why He's doing it this way. By this time, in other words, the result of all four trumpets and what takes place here before the fifth trumpet, over one-third of the population of the United States, the United Kingdom, and their close allies will have died. And in time we may find out, this has a lot to do with the first trumpet. Going on. Many more will continue to die from the results of this fourth event. Weather conditions will be horribly altered on Earth as a result of one-third of the sun's light no longer being able to warm the Earth and give light. That's what happens. That's why crops don't grow as they should. Many crops are already affected in an adverse way, and people are still going to eat them and die. Because when you do things out of hunger, you don't care how much they've been polluted. You eat. You're thirsty and you're on the ocean, you get to a point where you start drinking the water. It's the way you are. It's the way the mind is. Going on. Plant life and normal growing cycles will not be sustained by the sun as in the past. This will result in immediate famine over many areas of the earth. The effects from the fourth trumpet blast will result in far greater death, again, tens of millions. Why people want to be close to God? Not just to save your own hide, but because you become convicted that this way is right. Because God is right. And God's plan is to deliver mankind from what He's getting ready to do to Himself. Because this is what man is doing to himself. That's why I marvel sometimes when I'm on interviews and they ask me, like this one individual, basically talking about God, that this is some kind of almost like a fiendish God that would do something like this. I'm like, it's not God doing it. We're doing it to ourselves. Nations are doing it to nations. People are doing it to people. Amazing. God's going to intervene and stop it all. Going on. Although the devastation that follows the first four trumpet blasts result in unimaginable destruction, along with the death of a few hundred million people, the last verse of Revelation 8 gives a warning of far worse events that will follow. After the announcement sounded from the first four trumpets, a greater warning is given. This is Revelation 8 and verse 13. Then I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe! Woe, woe, three woes, three trumpets left to blow. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts from the three angels who are yet to sound." The expression woe refers to dire consequences that will be far more destructive in the world. There are three woes, which refer to the events that will follow in the last three trumpet blasts. The downfall of the United States and our closest allies will have led to a great power vacuum in the world. Nations will race to fill the void. And even though we retaliate, doesn't mean we're in good shape. On the contrary. Many areas of the world that have been held at bay by the influence of the United States and our closest allies will now be determined to accomplish their will on others. Just consider the nations that have long-lasting border and territorial disputes, as well as religious and political disputes, which have been contained. And the United States is one of the main ones, the fear of what we might do, and some of them has helped to contain some of them. Now they are held back no longer. Then we come to the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet. The blast from the fifth trumpet will announce the emergence of a great political power and a great religious power on earth. The biblical symbolisms contained in the description of the message from the trumpet blast are prophetically unique. Rather than having readers become bogged down with an overwhelming amount of biblical study that serves no purpose here, I will simply give an overview of the meaning and outcome. This trumpet will announce the first great woe on the earth. The prophetic description covers many overlapping, unfolding, and interacting highlighted events in the final 3.5 years of man's self-rule. The highlights of this fifth trumpet include, 1, the emergence of Satan and his large army of demons to great power. Now they have a beginning power that's already started, but it hasn't been unleashed yet, and what they're going to do on the earth. 2, the emergence of great power wielded by the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. this is when it becomes more evident in the world because of the influence she has over a revival of the Roman Empire, over Europe. And that leads to number three. The emergence of a fully united European Union of 10 nations. Four, the emergence of a colossal military might from the united European Union and the destruction of several hundred million people by it. Five, the protection of God's elect and the torment and trying or testing of those who have refused to repent in the environs of God's scattered church. I don't know why it should have been obvious that the majority of those that God calls, of those 3,000, whatever it is, number that's out there at some point, that it should have been so obvious, even having written this, that here it is. But like so many things, we can go through and read scriptures and say, why didn't I see that before? This is when it happens. This is the primary time. This is when God begins to work with them, humble them. There are certain thunders that will not take place until that period of time. And yet people have been waiting for certain thunders to take place. No. God has a timing and a plan for everything. He truly does. And it isn't always what ours is. Thank God, because His is perfect. Ours is very imperfect. All these events begin once the fifth trumpet is sounded. So here it is, Revelation 9, verses 1 through 3. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit like the smoke from a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Out of the smoke there came locusts upon the earth, and they were given power like scorpions of the earth have power. So again here, we've always understood, Mr. Armstrong understood a long, long time ago, that this has to do with war, with armies and so forth, the symbolism that's used, and things having to do with prophecy. And certainly this is the beginning point in time, as we'll go ahead and read here as we go on. But again, only quoted verses 1 through 3 and skipped over some verses here that I didn't even cover in the book. Again, there's a timing of God going through some of these things. The more will come out even as we go on later on. But please understand that in the midst of all this, in the midst of everything that's still happening in the world, you know what God's doing? Still working with His people. As small as we are on the earth, still working with the church. It isn't until the time of this fifth trumpet that God has some very specific things to say about different ones. And they're about people who have been a part of God's church, about people who have been scattered, and things that are going to happen to them. Incredible what God gives and what He shows. And so, even in the midst of all these things, God's purpose and God's plan of things that He has focused upon, the things that He is doing, it always has to do with His family. It always has to do with His church. What's happening in the world is a preparation for the return of Jesus Christ and millions more who get to have the opportunity of finally coming into His family, of being able, in the respect of being begotten and being impregnated in that respect, as far as living human life and having the impregnation of God's Spirit until the time they're able to be born into the Spirit family. But there are still those that is very important to God to fulfill and accomplish things He said would come to pass about those who would become a part of a remnant who are still not here. I marvel at this, I truly do, and what it takes and the period of time God has chosen to bring them along over a 5-month period of time. Let's just go ahead and read the rest of that. Revelation. Let's turn over there. Revelation chapter 9. There is much about the church. Oh, the first trumpet still has to do with the church. There's duality, both physical is going to take place here, but there's duality there still about the church. The fifth trumpet has very powerful physical things taking place out of Europe, but there's still things going on with the church. And I can hear some out there now. Ah, there he goes. He's getting ready to spiritualize all this away. Well, we're going to read it as we go through about the fifth trumpet. All the way down to the fifth trumpet. God's focus. So much of it still has to do with revelation about things concerning His church. Awesome to understand that. And I hope all of us have learned some great lessons about people out here and what they say. I could care less. Has it gotten to me at times? Yes, it did a while back on a particular Monday I mentioned. It got to me. And I had to have some attitude adjustment and some refocusing. We have to be able to see so clearly. It's always been in the world. The mocking of God, the mocking of God's people, the mocking of God's purpose and God's plan. And there is nothing on this earth you can do to help such people. There is nothing you can say to counteract such attitudes, such spirit that exists out there. And God has been contending with this long, long, long before He ever put man on this earth. He has contended with it with a third of the angelic realm, perhaps millions upon millions of years. We don't know how long that was from the time that Lucifer rebelled and did the things that he did. And yet God has had to put up with that attitude and spirit and existence. He's had to put up with that attitude and spirit in man for 6,000 years. But it's something we must experience as well. It's something we must understand. Because especially in the 144,000, those who are going to be a part of God's government when Jesus Christ returns, we must be fully prepared. We must be molded and fashioned into the God family exactly where He wants us to be and understand many things having to do with mankind and the mind of man and the mind of a third of the angelic realm that fell as well. There are things we must comprehend in a deeper way, in a more powerful way. And God is letting us experience those things. You know, just because the sealing takes place does not mean that there's still not a lot of training and a lot of molding fashioning that's still taking place. It truly is. Until we're fully molded and fashioned the way God wants us to be in His temple, we're still going to go through many things. And much of that has to do with deeper conviction and understanding of various things that are out here, truly. Because it has a lot to do with what we're going to be doing in the future. I could give you a roadmap right now, because God's already been giving it for the next several months. But I can't. There's a process that God's going to work out here, and a lot of it has to do not with us, but with those that are out there. God is working with this world, and He's going to draw people to repentance. And He's going to try people and test people and prepare people. You know, there are millions that God is getting ready to call and open up their minds to understand and to bring through and deliver into a new age, a new time. Verse 4. We read through the first three verses. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Now, I want you to understand something as a beginning of understanding here. There's a great separation between verse 3 and verse 4. There's a great separation here in what God is giving. Something different is taking place in verse 4 that isn't being covered in the same way in verse 3. Because the locus of the earth has very much to do with the military power and the might of Europe when it arises in those 10 nations. But there's something different that God is beginning to focus upon in this particular verse. And then it comes back to verse 3, or I should say the locus in verse 7. But verses 4, 5, and 6 are a little unique, as so many of the things in Revelation. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Does that sound a little familiar? Nor any green thing, neither any tree. And catch a transition here. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, that doesn't have to mean strictly a seal of 144,000. God refers to another seal, as we discussed when we went through and talked about that sealing that took place. There is that which God refers to as a seal in our foreheads, having to do with this impregnation of His Holy Spirit that He dwells in us. Whether it be those who are sealed to become a part of the 144,000, or those who have a sealing of His Holy Spirit in their life because of being impregnated with God's Spirit and have an opportunity to live into a new age. And so some are going to suffer on the earth. And it has nothing to do. This is different. This is very specific about who this involves. Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So there's much to be revealed here yet that God will give at a later date. You don't need to talk about it any more than what you talked about when it came up to the Feast of 2005. I caution people, don't try to go into things and discuss things having to do with what God gave at the Feast of 2005. Many of you who are around, those of you who don't know what happened not quite a year in advance, but as we begin to go through various things before that Feast of 2005, I caution people that God will give in His time and work with us in His time, but that we don't need to speculate amongst ourselves or discuss certain things amongst ourselves. Let God give to us in His time, and if there are certain things we begin to see, then fine, so be it, concerning what He begins to reveal. It is not healthy that there are some things we begin to speculate about or talk about until God gives it, absolutely. I hope you understand. Those who went through that period of time up to 2005 know full well what I'm talking about. So I encourage people, just wait. Wait till God fully gives you everything, okay? There are reasons for that. And I think of the different times that God gave some things that helped us to even learn that lesson in a profound way, because some began to talk about a certain area, Zechariah 14. And some went off on tangents because it was something that shouldn't have been discussed amongst people until God gives a full understanding of it. See? So it's very easy to read something into a matter. Don't do that. Wait till God gives it to you, just like these trumpets. Wait till God delivers it, you know? And then we'll be able to say, oh, why didn't I see that before? Well, just like you couldn't see anything else before because it wasn't God's time. You know, in God's time, it's exciting. Things are exciting in the timing that God uses and when He gives things. It truly is. But there's a lot said here, and it does tie in with the first trumpet. And in time, God will show us fully what it all means and add to it and help us to understand. Verse 7, now it goes back. And the shapes of the locusts, because it goes back now talking about verse 3 specifically, were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were many crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. So it's something that God gave to John, talking about massive war, things that are hard for us to grasp and comprehend with great power and great might, that especially back in John's time and since that time. But nowadays there are certain things we can grasp and comprehend by, I think of the telecast at one time, and we had the different helicopters, and it shows all the kinds of power that they have, and you know, the weaponry that you can put on the platforms and the kind of destruction they cause, and you know, there are things that are prophetic about things in the future, and we are now at that time. And I want to go back to the book now, because I go on to explain some things in the book here a little bit later as we go to verse 11 of chapter 9. But let's go back to the book now and pick it back up where we left off on page 122. I don't know if this is a good place to interject this as well, but this is a part of something I'm going to throw out at you as well, just so we understand that we do not understand all the timing of things. And we need to be cautious of how we live our lives. We need to be careful of how we live our lives. And there are certain things we cannot act upon until God gives it to us. The reason I'm saying that is because, well, how long will it be before Europe arises? How long before the fifth trumpet? 2009? Early in 2009? Later on that year? I don't know, and you don't know. But I do want to throw out a scenario to you to let you understand something here, even prophetically. There is a distinct possibility. It could fall within that framework and everything be fulfilled exactly how God says it would be if it didn't take place for over 2 years from April 17th. Okay? So please understand that some of the things we go through in the second, the third, and the fourth trumpet may cover a span of time that we don't grasp yet. It has the potential. And I'll just tell you right now, thank God if it happens that way. The longer it is until Europe does what they do. Do you know what Europe's going to do when they retaliate, when they decide to war, when they decide to take over this country? It is going to be it is going to be a type of blitzkrieg. It is going to be swift, just as these verses here talk about what the Germans are noted for doing. When they strike strong, they strike hard, they strike quickly. And there will be a repetition of that. And so when they strike out and do what they do, we don't know what point it is. It doesn't have to be next year. It doesn't have to be here during the year 2009. It could literally happen into the year of 2010. And thank God if it's that long up the road. Because what people have to live through on this earth when they do what they do, it's not as if there aren't enough nuclear weapons that have already gone off. If a third of the atmosphere already has been, things take place in the way it shows, what's going to happen by the time Europe and China do what they do? Do you realize that if God didn't intervene when he did, just in the aspect alone of clearing up the atmosphere around the earth at that point in time, nothing would remain. We couldn't survive. Man couldn't live. If by the time the Armageddon takes place, if God didn't do some cleaning up in the atmosphere of this earth, man could not survive. God is going to have to intervene and do some things to even clean up, even from radiation that covers this earth. That's why some people ask and write in at times, well, where can I move to? Where should I move to? Is there some place in other parts of the world that I can move to escape all this? Sorry, the answer is no. There's no place you can go. And many of the places you would think to go are going to be harder hit than this nation. There are going to be many nations on this earth that are going to suffer a fate far worse than what the United States suffers. And if you understand how many come through percentage-wise in the United States, what does that mean for some other nations on the earth? Okay. So again, there are things that China can do. You know, the shorter period of time that China has to do what they do, it doesn't take very long. If China does and Russia uses the power they have and they come up toward Armageddon immediately because they prepare for a year and a month and a day, as it talks about, well, we know we have to back off that length of time from the time Jesus Christ returns. But they started preparing at that point in time. And when do they start preparing? Well, there are things that happen on the first woe that lead to the third woe. And the second woe follows the first woe. My point being is that when they see Europe do what they do, it won't take too long, a year and a month and a day. But when they retaliate and do some of the things they do, they're going to head toward the Valley of Megiddo quickly. What they do in the meanwhile, it says they're going to destroy a third of all the earth. That means a lot of nuclear weapons going off. You know, I was thinking this week, well, don't even know if I should say it. If what I say weren't to come to pass and I was a false prophet, what a blessing that would be, as far as some people would think. Because maybe man doesn't have to suffer this much. And maybe that much wouldn't be destroyed. You know? Who wants to talk about over 6 billion people dying? Who wants to give that? Who wants to go through and talk about that? You know? Anybody out there think that's a pleasant job that's listening? Some of you yo-yos who like to attack and distort and twist things. You know? And by the way, I just want to mention that your progression of what I said would start on you is already progressing more. Some of you already know it. I know some. We know of one individual specifically here not too long ago, a little worried about their health. There are several of you out there that should be worried about your health. You think it's just coincidence? Amazing. Well, it is going to come to pass, and it is going to take place, and it is going to happen to that degree. How do you think Noah felt? How do you think his family felt? But they happened to live at that time because God chose to let them come through it and to replenish the earth through one family. And his family didn't appreciate it all. You look through time, you look through what happened. None of them are mentioned as living righteous lives or being righteous men. The sons of Noah took 11 generations later. 11 generations while Noah was still living until finally Abram came along. Incredible. The mind of man and how much pride and haughtiness exists in the human mind, and why man has to go through this at this end time before the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, can return to rule this earth. When the mind of man has finally been humbled, we are so haughty, we are so proud as human beings. Page 122, Satan's rise to power. In prophecy, stars are symbolic of angels. One simple example of a star that is misinterpreted by the world of traditional Christianity is the one that led the wise men to Bethlehem, where the Messiah was born. Traditional Christianity pictures this as a literal star over the little town of Bethlehem. Yet most people do not know that this wasn't a literal star in the heavens, but an angel that directed them where to go. You know, prophetically, in different things that are given, God has used the expression of stars referring to angels, angelic beings. And yet the world paints this putrid picture, this syrupy picture of this little star hanging over this little town, and that somehow, and you think, how on earth could you look at a star and pinpoint it over any town? Look out in the sky some night at any star and how bright and how close to the earth that thing would have to be to have a little bit of a tail of a streak of light shooting down to one little city. Stupid. I don't mean ignorant. I mean totally stupid. Where is the mind of human beings to think that this is some kind of powerful literal star in the universe, you know, a sun that's out there that somehow, you know, you can get a bit of a direction by following the North Star. And you can head in that direction, and you can tell a direction you're going. But if you ever think you're going to pinpoint the North Pole by it, you're nuts. You know? It's going to point right down on the North Pole. We're going to find it. When do you know you're under it? Because every time you're looking up, you might get a little closer, you know, at different times in certain stars. Anyway, it is so insane what human beings believe. And so they have this picture on, you know, the star. And you see it sometimes, these little mangers and things they have out there. And right above it, they had this big old star because it's pointing down on the manger. They know it was an angel that led them to where Christ was. He is the one that had to show them and give them the way of where it was. So anyway, the star in Revelation 9:1 refers to Satan. John's vision represents Satan's fall from God's presence to his banishment here on earth. Satan and those angels who rebelled with him against God have been limited in the power they once were given. They have been restrained by God. This restraint from power is symbolically pictured by chains and a place of restraint like a prison. The key is symbolic of being released from those restraints, having the power to release the restraints. Satan has been allowed to exercise powers of influence over mankind, primarily in the form of feeding man's own greed for wealth, power, illegal self-gratification, and so forth. Now at this very point of end-time tribulation, at the sounding of the fifth trumpet, Satan and the demons, angels that rebelled with Satan, will be released from their restraints and will be able to exercise far greater power and influence over mankind than ever, on a military fashion, as far as power concerned that way. They've still had certain powers that God has allowed them to retain. There are certain influence they've had on the earth. On April 17th, there was greater power exercised over one individual and over the institution he's over. And that will increase because that's on a spiritual plane, a greater spiritual plane. And this will all lead up to a time when he will have greater influence and power given to him to accomplish even greater things as far as military power, a revival of the Roman Empire, the seventh revival prophesied to take place. Nations and religions already desire to exert power and evil on earth, but Satan will move them to follow their evil desires more quickly. Isn't that amazing? How Satan and demons work with attitudes that people have, can stir things up more quickly, attitudes that people harbor inside of them and stir things up and make it more pronounced. And that's exactly what they do with world leaders here. There's already a great desire in Europe to have a united Europe. That spirit's already been working out there. that people have, that people have a desire for seeing Europe revived and have a greater say. And there are others in Europe who are going to, along with that, to a point, and when it's all said and done, only 10 will finally do it together. The rest won't go all that far. Books that have been written by different individuals over there who have a great desire for seeing old Europe restored with world influence and power and might, especially in this century. And Satan will fuel that inside of them very shortly to where they will act upon it. And so that's the kind of power that is released. So in actuality, going on, God will be accelerating a natural course of events that would otherwise be spread over many more years of intense suffering, war, and evil on earth, which would result in far greater destruction.
You know, that even should be a marvel to us. I think of the scattered church out there today. They see certain things we have known for a long, long time. You know, since the 50s, when Mr. Armstrong made sure that there were representatives there when the common market had their first meetings together, when they were coming together to organize as the European Common Market, because he knew prophecy, because he knew about a time there would be a military power arise out of there, that they would have a common currency, and that they would be unified as far as nations are concerned. And so from the get-go, the plain truth was there. He had representatives there at the meetings to report on what was taking place, because God gave to him that outline of things that would happen in the 7th Revival. And so time has passed. And those in the scattered church have that basic knowledge. There is one organization that has used that to their benefit and using Mr. Armstrong's name, but their focus has primarily been in that area of what's going to happen in Europe. And he's had an influence over a lot of people because of that. And other groups out here, they understand, but as they look at that, it's so far down the way yet. See, because the military, they don't see a military that's organized yet. And what was it last week? France was talking to Poland and the feelings of a stronger Europe they would have because of Poland's influence and France's. And so they see a possibility of a stronger military relationship there with Poland. France does. And so a little bit of appeasement and politics and the stuff that always goes on. But that was just last week in Europe. And so people in scattered church look upon that and they say, yeah, so they're starting to talk about it, but still many, many years down the road, because it's going to take time, because they don't have any military machine yet. The military might they have to have is simply control of nuclear weapons. And they can come together speedily to do the things they need to do. But that's why people put things off to 15, 20 years away. And people in a scattered group, when they put things off 15, 20 years away, there's no sense of urgency of what's going on in the world. There's no sense of a need for a strong spiritual relationship with God and to keep on watch, to keep alert, to be on guard in our lives. My wife and I were talking about that. I think you mentioned it yesterday. Talking about when we went to Israel. We saw a difference between what it was 7 years ago and what it was this time. We saw a lot more of an alert mindset as far as the Israelis were concerned concerning their nation than what we saw this time. Evidence of people in the military who were in shopping malls. We happened to see, I think we saw just a few in the shopping mall there, one shopping mall with weapons and so forth, young people that walked through the mall. But when we were there, they were everywhere. And they had patrol, jeeps and so forth, and you saw them on hills, you saw them in valleys when we went down to Eilat, in the farthest southern tip next to Egypt. And we saw them all along the way. This time here, I saw some fences, I saw some cameras out there, you know, but we didn't see much of anything as far as them being on guard and being alert and being watchful. And it's an attitude in the world. You know, even in a time of potential war and fighting and anyway, it's an attitude in the world. It's an attitude that exists in this country in part. You know, 9/11, well, it's kind of, people use it for political gain and maneuvering and so forth. But there's no real concern in amongst the people in this country. We're more concerned about what the pump's going to say next week or tomorrow. What's the pump price? Where can I go on my vacation? Am I going to have to curtail part of my vacation this summer? You know, because the gas is getting up past $4 now. That's what's big in my life, you know. Or whether I can go out and buy that new car now or not. You know, that's what's big in my life. It's not that nukes are going to go off in this country. People don't believe that. They don't believe reports and things that come along, you know, by the government. Colorado, when they're told to prepare for an epidemic, you know, prepare and stock up on foods and so forth, in different organizations, in different cities, and even in our own community, they talked about what would happen if there's a pandemic. Are people doing that? Are they concerned? Do they really believe it?
Oh. This whole world is going to be so caught off guard. Just like God's church was when the apostasy took place. There is that duality. This world will not be prepared because it doesn't believe it. We were asleep in the church, and the world is asleep today.
Going on reading the paragraph again. In actuality, God will be accelerating a natural course of events that would otherwise be spread over many more years of intense suffering, war, and evil on earth, which would result in far greater destruction if God did not speed up these events as revealed through the seven trumpets and limit this time to only 3.5 years. Then all life would be erased from off the earth. How long ago was it? How many years ago was it when they finally came out and said, whether it was, I can't remember now, back in the late 60s, early 70s, when they acknowledged that there are enough nuclear weapons in the world at that time to destroy the earth 40 times over, and we have many more today. Only takes once to destroy everything that lives, that crawls, that has life in it on the earth. To do the same thing that Lucifer did when he rebelled. That's the power that man has today. To destroy everything that God created and gave life to. The week he created and made Adam and Eve. The final rise of a united Europe. For over 50 years now, Europe has been moving toward a union of nations. It began in the early 1950s with a vision of a stronger European economy being formed through the European Common Market. This finally evolved into a greater unification through the governing power of the European Union. There has been a constant driving force within Europe to unite under a stronger governing organization of nations. Over time, a core block of those nations forged a stronger bond by the adoption of a common currency, the euro. Political and even military consolidation has continued to press forward. You know, I was amazed, you know, I wasn't amazed, but what an incredible time when the euro finally came to reality and nations began to accept it. And what an incredible thing too, something we've always basically known, is that the United Kingdom would never accept it. Ephraim wouldn't accept the euro. Incredible. Going on. For over 50 years, God's church has foretold the rise of this united Europe, which would have a common currency, a military, and a religious, speaking of the Roman Catholic Church as the predominant church, and would finally consist of only 10 united countries. For many years now, there has been a growing desire among many Europeans for the revival of an old Europe into a single United States of Europe, replacing and surpassing the United States of America as the predominant power in the world. Many in Europe are frustrated with what they see as too slow a pace in the progress of these goals. A bond of unity among some of these nations is becoming stronger, while their frustrations are mounting against those who are seen as slowing the process. It's an amazing thing to watch. Something we've known for so long, and we see it, and we have been watching it go through these stages. There is a deep resentment and growing bitterness toward these nations, especially Great Britain, who won't join together for a stronger euro. Although many other areas of prophecy can help you understand what will happen at the time of this fifth trumpet, only the conclusions from the revelation of those prophecies will be covered in this chapter. More of this information is covered in the Prophesied End Time. Going on, Satan's release from restraint will move him to exercise greater power and influence over the unity of Europe. Satan has exercised his influence and power to deceive and create havoc during every revival of the Holy Roman Empire. He will stir up the 10 nations in Europe who will take control of all power over the European Union. Only those 10 nations will agree to lend their power as one. Germany will once again be the principal driving force behind a united Europe. As in the 6th revival of the Holy Roman Empire, which led into World War II, the 7th prophetic and last revival will lead into a full-blown World War III. So it isn't full-blown yet. This is when it becomes full-blown. Very powerfully so. But there's been massive destruction already before this finally takes place.
It's already started, World War III, but it becomes full-blown at this point. And like a scorpion that strikes quickly without notice, a new United States of Europe will swiftly exercise great military power that it already has in its possession under the cloak of NATO. This will occur at a very specific moment in time. This new European power, which would eventually move to accomplish the same thing, will move forward more quickly due to the influence of Satan and his army of demons. You know, thank God. He's going to speed up the process. He's allowing them to go out, as he has in times past. As you read about other things that have happened throughout time, God has allowed them to be released for a time. And much of it has been to speed up a process with man, to work with mankind, to work with his plan and purpose of things working within a 6,000-year time frame and bringing it specifically up to this moment in time and moving it forward quickly so it doesn't go on and on and on, but happens swiftly and quickly. The account of this next revelation will infuriate many people. Nevertheless, it is true. At the same time that Satan will have powerful influence over 10 nations in Europe, he will yield great deceptive power over the Roman Catholic Church. For centuries, the Catholic Church has been led into deception through Satan's power, but he will exercise even greater direct control at this final end time. Although there will be a distorted bond between this new Europe and the Catholic Church, that bond will become deeply stressed as these two struggle for dominant power one against the other. It's an incredible thing. When you read the Revelation, you realize they aren't in love with each other. They don't have the same relationship that they've had in some of the revivals, which even the last revival wasn't that grand, but this one here is going to be indeed iron mingled with clay in a very loose way. Going on, indeed, God will make it clear who is the true power over both the revived Europe and the Catholic Church. It is Satan. That's why in verse 11 of chapter 9, when it's talking about the fifth trumpet, it reveals who was released. It says, "And they had a king over them, who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, destruction, but in the Greek tongue he has a name, Apollyon, destroyer." Incredible. Same being. Going on here on page 125. God's church. At the same time all these events come together as the sounding of the fifth trumpet, there will be an initial period of time, 5 months, when much human suffering will continue as a result of the first four trumpets. This marks a time of great suffering on a worldwide scale, but even now, God's church is still part of these prophetic events. You know, even wrote this and talked about it. Still hasn't hit me, didn't hit me as hard until this period of time here, going through this and discussing it and thinking about that 3,000 who are yet to come along and what God is still doing and the time period for that going on. God's church still exists on earth and will continue all the way up to the very return of Jesus Christ. But many who were scattered in the church after the great falling away will not live into the new millennial period that follows. Although Satan and his demons will be released from great restraint, they will still be restrained in their ability to cause hurt to any of God's people who obey him. That's why it's so important. Protection that only God can give, favor that only God can give to bring people through these things within, you know, a husband or a wife or both, if you're so blessed, who chooses to live a certain way of life and chooses to be a part of the body and receives the impregnation of God's Holy Spirit and the blessing God gives into the family through that process, to children as well. You know, they have choices to make as well, but the blessings that can be upon them. You know, what an insane thing. And yet there are going to be young people who come along who are not going to respond to that parent, even as they see some of these things take place. What a sad thing. My great desire, far more than mine, God's great desire, obviously, is that everyone would say, "Yes, I want to live in that new world. I want to be there when Jesus Christ returns." What a blessing. But what people can't see, they can't see. Sad. Going on, although Satan and his demons will be released from great restraint, they will still be restrained in their ability to cause hurt to any of God's people who obey him, especially those who are sealed as part of the 144,000. It will be during this time that Satan and his followers will be allowed to wreak havoc and torment upon those who have not yet repented and humbly turned to God's end-time prophets for understanding. We talked about a period of time when there is no more of a power that's waged or has an influence as far as scattering is concerned, as far as continuing divisions to take place, because what has been done. The damage that's there, the power that's there, it's already in the minds of individuals. They are fully set in what they are and who they are, speaking of those who are scattered. And yet there's a period of time that God allows greater power to be unleashed upon them because they just won't listen to God. They resist being shaken from their sleep. That's hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to grasp with a human mind to think that people can deny that we've had a scattering already. Just on a clear basis here of looking at all the church that's out here, over 500 groups, and to not admit, to not acknowledge we've been scattered all over the place, yet people won't do that because if they admit that, they have to begin admitting other things that have been fulfilled in prophecy. And so they won't even start the process. And so it is, it's hard to grasp and comprehend that even as things continue on here and things do happen in this country comes to a point where it no longer has great influence on the world anymore, to a point that it's crippled, to a point where the economy in the world has been crippled, that people still won't turn to the truth, to where God is working. Instead, they still try to hold on to their ideas, their beliefs, and try to fit it into a framework of something like the first seal is taking place, or the second seal, or the third seal has been opened now, and maybe by the time we get up to Europe, I don't know what they're thinking, you know, where they'll be, but they're going to try to cram everything into something that was there in the past that doesn't fit anymore because they won't acknowledge what God has given to the church. And so they'll resist that, and they're certainly going to resist who God has placed there as two prophets and two witnesses, because in their minds, God wouldn't work that way. God cannot be working that way with them, because then they would really have to humble themselves. So what's going to happen? During this 5 months, God is going to humble some people until a remnant is complete, or nearly complete, because there will be some who will continue to be drawn up to the very end. But as a whole, the vast majority of those are going to be worked with during this period of time. So continuing on here, those of the scattered church of God who are tormented during this 5 month period will suffer greatly for their stubborn pride and continued defiance against God. Even when God's Spirit is trying to draw them and work with them and awaken them, they're not responding. So like the world, they have to be humbled. Again. You know, most of us had to be humbled before we ever brought into God's church. We have to go through things and be brought low so that we'll hear God when He begins to communicate to us. Well, I'll never forget my calling. You know, talk about having to be hit in the forehead by a 4x4, not a 2x4, because that wouldn't get my attention. You know, I had to go through several things before I'd finally listen when God gave me the truth. Because up to that point in time, I would have mocked you. Anyone in God's church, I would have thought you were nuts, stark raving mad, you were crazy people. If I'd come in contact with any of God's people, you believe what? You are nuttier than a fruitcake. You know, that's what I would have thought. And so God had to bring me down so that it came to a point in time where when I heard and my mind was open to it, I received it. But I knew what my mind was like before that period of time. I know what I had to go through. And so God has had to work with a lot of people that way to humble us before we're called. And sadly, when people have been in around God's church, been in God's church for a period of time, gone through what we've gone through, been out here asleep for so long, so steeped in what they have, so Protestant in what they have, they've made the truth Protestant now, that God has to humble them powerfully and mightily through this period of time of some horrible things that are going to have to happen in people's lives, and a particular thunder that goes along with it as well, to shake them, to finally awaken them to where they will awaken and come out of their sleep and admit and acknowledge the truth. So that's a horrible thing to understand what has to take place. And that's in the midst of all the suffering that's already going on out here. Which causes me to think here about planning ahead, backing up a little bit here about how long it might be till Europe does what they do. I don't know. Maybe it will be in the middle part of 2009. Maybe it'll be in the first quarter of 2009. Maybe it'll be in the third quarter. And maybe it will be after the first quarter of 2010. I don't know. Before Europe does what it does. Be wise in how you do things. And our economy will have long collapsed. And the economy of the world will have long collapsed as a whole. But you need to be wise in how you do things, what you do, how you plan, how you prepare. We talked about people, making sure you have, you know, try to have 6 months to a year of certain things as far as your finances are concerned and so forth, planning ahead, thinking ahead. You know, this is not a time to just quit everything. Keep working forward, keep going forward. Keep planning ahead. It may be quick, it may be slower. It's probably going to be a little slower than what we thought. It's in God's hands. It's not in my hands. And I can't give you any more until God gives it to me to give to you. Okay? So, again, I hope we learn from that to be wise, to be shrewd, always trusting in God, always looking to God for Him to guide, direct, and lead us in our personal lives, in our individual lives, and how we do things. Speaking of this particular time, I'll just read the whole thing. Those of the scattered church of God who are tormented during this 5-month period will suffer greatly for their stubborn pride and continued defiance against God. Once this time has ended as a final time of trying, all those who have resisted God through selfish pride will die and will not be allowed to enter the millennial period that will soon follow. Instead, they'll be awakened from death at the end of this time in the great resurrection. So there's still things to do with the scattered church that God's going to deal with, and this is where the majority of this happens at this point in time. There will be much weeping and gnashing of teeth. At this time, they will finally see the foolishness of their choices, and they will also see what they gave up. So, it's too bad that we're so stubborn against God sometimes as human beings. This 5-month period of time will be paralleled by millions of people who will begin to repent and seek God. They will begin to turn to the truth they have heard from God's end-time prophets, as well as those who serve with them in God's church. Yet, during this same time, those who still refuse to repent in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and some Western European countries will experience great trial and torment to help them see their stubborn pride and bring them to repentance. So there's just an ongoing process here. Dropping on down to the other section at the bottom of the page, much revelation yet reserved. Nothing more specific on the fifth trumpet can be given at this time. A little more is mentioned in my first book, but not much. It is God's purpose that many of the details of these events and the revelation of their complete meaning be reserved for another time. Over and over again, this is a theme that keeps running through this, and for us to understand, there are reasons why more of the blanks are not filled in until it's time. And we will understand that when we come to those things. Going on. This time will be just prior to their actual occurrence or at the moment they begin to take place on this earth. Now in the church generally we're given more of a, especially we have been in times past here, in the last few years, given a little bit of time. In some cases as a part of a preparation to prepare us. The world is not prepared because they don't know, they don't understand. They just have to be told finally, point blank, what it is, and as a whole we see the world never accepts it. But as time goes on, more and more will begin to accept it when they hear it. But for us, God lets us know certain things ahead of time to prepare us, to help us to be more fully prepared for when things do take place. Otherwise, we couldn't come through this. Okay. All along the way here. Going back to 2005. If I'd just gone through and given those sermons and God had prepared us months in advance, going through different things, preparing us, we couldn't have all received it in the way we did. God knows how to prepare us. God knows how to mold and fashion us and to work with us. Going on here, this time will be just prior to the actual occurrence of the moment they begin to take place on earth. This will be reserved for greater revelation from God's two end-time witnesses at this very time. So again, there are things God's going to continue to do for a reason and for a purpose. The same is true about much of what is being covered in this chapter about the seven trumpets. It is not yet God's purpose that all these things be revealed. During the time covered in the fifth trumpet, several hundred million people will die, more than the total number who died during the period of the first four trumpets. That's why it's called a woe. During all four trumpets, there's more because of what Europe does at this time. Finally, this time will also come to an end, as John wrote, "One woe is past, and behold, there are two more woes coming after this." Going on here, the sixth trumpet. Although Europe will step in to fill the power vacuum left by the collapse of the United States, there will be other countries that will immediately begin to prepare for world conquest. They know Europe, and they will not have Europe exercise control over their future. Look at what Russia is doing right now with Europe. They don't like, they want to have the say. Putin wants to have the say. Their alliance with China is growing. You know, they're sharing military technology on a continuing basis here, and weaponry and so forth. This is something growing at a very fast rate right now. And much of it is aimed at, and still is, this contention with Europe. A type of Cold War, if you will, has been stirred up again in Europe. And people are dancing a very light dance around different ones and what they say and how things are said, because there's a lot going on right now.
Going on. Reading from Revelation 9, verse 13 through 16. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates." The four angels were released, who had been prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to kill a third of mankind. And it doesn't take long to do that. So the timing of this can be very far, very close to the time of the return of Jesus Christ. The closer, the better. The number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. China and other countries of Asia will form an alliance that will create an army which will exceed 200 million. They will have fearsome power to destroy everything in their path, and this is what they will set out to do. They will seek control, total control of the earth. Little needs to be said about this here. However, you need to know that this great woe upon mankind will result in one-third of all mankind being destroyed, as it will account for the death of over 2 billion people. It's hard to contemplate, hard to understand. We really can't. This will indeed be a great woe on earth. Pride runs deep in human nature. Mankind will continue to resist God even after all the horrifying events of the previous six trumpets have occurred. By the end of the period covering the first six trumpets, several billion people will have died. Multiple millions around the world who have been conquered by these two great powers will have come to repentance. Yet there are many who will refuse to repent, including the vast populations of these two great superpowers. They will insist on living life as they please. This is what is being spoken of in the verses which follow the description of the army that numbers 200 million. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, still would not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither would they repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. If you want to look at places in Asia, they don't believe anything they're hearing about what's being said in the world by two people, you know, basically, or what has been written. They could care less. Not going to have any influence upon them whatsoever. So this is talking about a part of them, even those throughout Europe, you know, different ones, the mindset that they have. So it's talking about people that still have power to conquer and control and think they have power to take over or to do what they want to. That's out of Europe and that's out of Asia as well. Going on, at the bottom of the page here. By this point in time, many will have repented. They will have been humble because they will have been conquered. Those still ruling will continue to live as they please, and they will have no intention on repenting and turning to God. This is a witness of the haughty spirit in mankind. Unless humbled, man will not listen to God. So that is exactly what God will do. He will humble both superpowers. It's amazing what God does when Jesus Christ returns on that day. That's amazing what takes place on the earth. Armageddon. I'd like to rush through this if I could. I don't think I can. I don't think there's any way on earth to get through all this. Nah, I can't read that fast. Armageddon. Maybe I should stop there so I can continue on, because there's too much to cover. I think this would be a good spot. So we're going to stop a little early today, because if I continue on and try to cover it at a fast pace, I have no idea what I'd give to the end of this sermon, so must be a reason for stopping right there. We're starting with Armageddon next Sabbath.